Hello, Internet. Welcome to episode 57 of the Making Geeks podcast. We are the podcast for makers, dads, and geeks. And today we have our own traveling maker, Mr. Josh Price.
Hello.
The guy with a brand new shop, Mr. Mark O'Keefe.
Hey.
And the guy back from his anniversary dinner, Mr. Wes Swain.
Good evening.
Happy anniversary to you, by the way.
Thank you. Buddy. Thanks.
How are you guys doing?
1 million years.
Yeah. Doing well.
What'd you have for dinner?
Better have been filet mignon. Okay, I'll give you a ribeye.
Ribeye, sweet potato, brown sugar, cinnamon.
You didn't get any of that on your butter. Fancy shirt?
No, yeah. I didn't. I don't know how. It's amazing.
Good job.
Now yeah. I'm hungry again. Thanks.
Caesar salad, key lime pie.
Screw you.
Boom.
I'm going to dinner now. See you guys later.
Graham cracker crust.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing good. I just got back from DC. I was down at the tech shop with a couple people, with Scott Hahn, Mr. Paul Jackman, and Kyle from Chasing Makes. Tech shop is super cool.
Did you tell them to open one in Jersey for me?
There was really no one to tell, dude. They had like a little clubhouse out front where you could buy materials. I guess they're really expensive to try to deter you and to make you bring your own. But they have a lot of tools I'd never seen before and never used, and I got to use a lot of them. So it was really cool. So thanks, Kyle, for hooking us up. That was really fun. A bunch of metalworking stuff. Metal cutting bandsaws. Stuff I didn't actually get to use because I'm a liability at that place because I don't know how to use any of it. But they had tons of stuff. They had water jet. They had a bunch of CNCs. A bunch of metalworking stuff I thought was really awesome. Their woodworking shop is cool. Used some 3D printers that my 3D printer was better than. Just saying.
Oh.
Shots fired.
Shots fired at you.
What's the owner's name? I lost my book. What's his name?
Mr. Ultimaker, you need to call up Monoprice. Print off. Yeah, it was a great time. Shout out to you, buddy.
So is Tech Shop one of those places where it's like a monthly membership fee?
Most maker spaces work like that. It's, you know, it'll cost you more money the shorter time you're there. So I think Kyle said that a yearly membership was like $1,000. But that's more economic.
That much?
That's for a year. Yeah, and he was saying how like additional storage, like you can't do overnight storage, and if you do, it's $10, like a night. So if he has something that he needs to glue up, like it's an additional $10, he has to pay them. Some of the machines, the fancier machines, like the water jet and things, you had to pay per like minute because it's just really expensive. And he says it makes like the lights flicker whenever they use it. So it's not bad. I mean, it was one gigantic open space, and then like the woodworking, metalworking were secluded areas, but like anybody could use anything. It didn't have like a here's your kind of booth area that was yours. They had long-term storage that was yours, but not like a dedicated workspace for people. So I don't know. There were things I've learned, things I picked up on that I wanted to kind of do for our shop. But it was good. It was good to go to another place and see how someone else does it.
Very cool.
Is Boston on your list of places to go?
Yeah, probably.
Like
Arson Asylum?
Asylum, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that one's going to be on the list because that's really huge. And I've seen all Adam Savage's videos, and but they have a lot of online resources too that are really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if I can, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get the chance because like this, I have to make time from the family to be able to go by myself to these places because I don't want to take the kids. And so this is a huge family trip and it's a learning environment. So we have to balance to like every time we go somewhere, I'm like, I have to go to this place to do this. And this was one of those dedicated kind of times. There were dedicated times in North Carolina. Just we tried to pack too much into them and I didn't get to go to all the places I wanted to go to. But a lot of those were impromptu. So some of the places I've made a more conscious effort to go see. And this is one of them.
Cool.
So I don't know. Probably. I doubt it, though. I don't know anybody there.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone in Boston listens to this episode and wants me to take me around the arts and silence, that's great. But I would seriously just be walking around looking at stuff awkwardly. Maybe not.
Go ahead, Sean.
This week, I've just been working on making kind of a planter bench or planter station for my wife outside, trying to use as much scrap material as I can already in the backyard and hopefully start dressing up the eyesore that I have back there with basically sand for a lawn and a bunch of dead plants. Mainly just trying to use up a bunch of scrap and get another video out before I have to go back to work next, you know, next month. That's really about it. How about you, Wes? Where?
I was going to say you should dig out about a foot and a half of your sand and then just refill it with topsoil from the local dump if you have that. I don't know if that's the same on each coast.
Yeah, we've talked about it. When we're ready to put money into it, we'll probably do it that way.
Mm-hmm. You get the stuff with branches in it, you can get it for free. You just got to rake a lot.
Part of the yard will be, you know, probably some of that stuff too.
Nice.
Who's next? Me or Wes?
Wes, what have you been up to?
Well, the kids have been away at the grandparents this week, so Catherine and I have been doing some stuff around the house. And we have like a play gutter instantly.
Do you expect anything else?
Does that belong here?
Not making any more geeks. All right. We have a playhouse outside that the kids like to use. And a couple of months ago, I was like fixing it up and changing some stuff in it. And we finally just put the last coat of paint on it. Making it a little nicer, hanging some more like gym kind of trapeze-y kind of stuff, you know, for like swing set equipment. I want it to make it a little more fun. Beyond that, nothing too exciting. Yeah, that's about it.
So, Mark, what have you been up to?
I have been continuing on the Basement Odyssey. I can't believe I found more stuff to throw away. It's amazing. I spent, at least 6 hours in my basement today just moving stuff, throwing stuff away, cutting stuff up, getting rid of stuff, repurposing stuff, vacuuming, finding mouse poo. It's wonderful. The last part, but no, it's cool. I've been, The multi-computer thing is working better than I could have ever hoped. So that lets me get into the basement and have full access to everything that I've ever done on my computer. And then I have just... It's a combination of cleaning my basement, making my space, and making my workspace and making my non-workspace, which is, it's kind of a lot of fun. And I also have multiple YouTube video ideas, which I am actually just about on the verge of pulling the trigger on and having a YouTube channel. I have one project that I think will be very popular / very troll worthy.
Yeah, but who cares?
But it's also mad science-y, which is cool. So I'm kind of excited about that one. And the other one is the process of the multiple computer thing. And then after that, who the hell knows? But slow momentum. I'm keeping the slow momentum, so I'm happy about it. I'm absolutely ecstatic that my slow momentum has not slowed anymore. It's pretty much keeping constant, so yay. I'm happy. So I will be picking the three of yours brains on how to do video stuff within 6 months. I know that's a crazy large number, but probably before that, but within the next 6 months I will be picking all of your brains on how to do things on videos. Hopefully.
Very cool.
So
we do it.
What are we talking about in current events this episode?
Well, I thought it'd be interesting if we look at the making trend, basically how it started a little bit and where it's going, and whether or not we think it's kind of hit kind of like mass, you know, saturation. It seems like whether you're looking at it from a content creation standpoint with YouTube or organizations like Maker Faire, it seems like all these things have gotten larger. They've scaled up. Everybody's gotten to be more involved in it. How much bigger can it get? What does the future look like? Is it going to start kind of thinning out. What do we see happening over the next maybe 2-3 years in this space?
Am I wrong in assuming that the term maker kind of has a pseudo like public aspect to it? Like whether it's YouTube or a social media presence, it's not just some dude in his garage. It's some dude in his garage with a camera.
I think it only feels that way because I think most of us have this aspect of, hey, look at me now. And it's the only way that we're able to reach out and share. I don't have people coming over to my house and working on things with me. So the only way I'm able to connect with anybody else doing something similar is through social media, which means a camera or some way to kind of share the information now. So I think that's just a sign of the times. I'm not doing this with neighbors down my street.
It's not a bad thing either. I mean the whole social media presence thing, I know some people look at it as a bad thing or a superficial narcissistic thing, but it's also like what you just said, you know, you might not live in a neighborhood where people care to get their hands on things and to make things, and you know, I can reach out to, instead of my neighborhood of 50 or 60 people, I can reach out to the entire planet and say, hey, who else does this? Let's mix brains and see what happens. What are you thinking of that I'm not? What am I thinking of that you're not? You know? And I think that in and of itself is a really good thing.
And I think that diversity in that group, that worldwide difference of opinions and difference of skill sets and difference of experience is what makes this great. Because if you're just around people that think the same, you know, and the irony of this statement is not caught on me because we are a podcast and we have a specific demographic that we speak to. So the people that are listening, I mean, if we all got in a room together. Mindset. Exactly. We share probably a lot of common traits because we highlight those traits on the show.
Like beards.
Like beards. Like belts that have way too many holes in them where they probably shouldn't be because we're a little chubbier than we used to be. We're all married and probably have kids, right? That's kind of our deal. But that is the tiniest like sliver of a sliver that's under a microscope of the pie, right? And today when I was at the tech shop, I was asking Kyle about like the community of people that are there, because there were a lot of people. And there were some people that didn't seem like they were actively working on stuff. Some people, they probably were. They were on their computers hanging out on like a couch. Other people were around like talking to people. Some people were gluing stuff. Some people were actively metalworking. Like, and in my mind, the tech shop, I don't know why, but I thought of it as more of a commercialized place. That was, if people had to pay more money or if it was all about the franchise, like they would be actively working, it would be a little more cold, but it wasn't. And when Paul got there, he asked if it was okay if he would take video, and they were like, yeah, why? Like, why do you want to take video? And we thought that was weird. And I talked to Kyle and he was like, I've seen people make these amazing things. I'm like, man, do you have like an Instagram or like a YouTube? And they're like, no. Like, what do you need that crap for? So there's, in that one tiny little place, like there's a group of amazing people making amazing things that we have probably never seen and probably won't ever see. And their community is within those walls or in their actual surroundings. So like the I Like to Make Stuff group or all of the other 20 friggin' Facebook groups that people now seem to belong to, or this YouTube trend, that is the smallest sliver of people out there. And I finally today like caught me, because you live inside this bubble. Like, these are all of our friends and acquaintances that we talk to regularly and we like to share things and we get advice from. So it kind of limits your scope and like puts up walls where there really aren't walls, because you operate inside this little comfortable area. When, man, like out there in the world, there are amazing people doing amazing things. probably having the exact same problems you're having. But we're inside these groups and we like to corral ourselves together and tend to look inward.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing that we're corralling ourselves. Like, I mean, like in my life, I'm one of the very few people out of my friends and coworkers who actually does this stuff. You know, I have one friend who kind of dabbles in it, but his life kind of took a detour. So he stopped doing it and he's just worrying about other stuff. And I have another friend who I'm actively working on a project with right now, but that's two people out of, you know, how many that I know that just don't. Like, their life is consistent of go to work, come home, take care of the kids, watch TV, play video games, go to bed, repeat. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but I need someone who, even in the slightest sense, shares my mindset. You know, like, how hard would it be to make that? How hard would it be to, you know, put a few things together and see this, you know, $100 million thing made for $27.50? You know, how can you just even the conversation of making, how would you make that? You could do this, you could do that. Just someone to bounce ideas off, someone who has that mindset of how things are made, how things are created, chemical science, engineering, you know, whatever. Just someone to bounce those ideas off of is invaluable. And you might not have that in a real life scenario, so you go online. And I think there's this huge stigma of, you know, friends online still. You know, I don't think as a society we've moved past that yet. And I mean, there's the connection that we have to people around the world is invaluable.
So this conversation spread. We're gonna go there? We're talking real world now. So there was a thing that happened today in our little world. Okay. For those people not in the I Like to Make Stuff group, it's a closed Facebook group. Apparently we're some elitists in some closed group.
Hath hitteth the fanneth.
Yeah, so there was a really stupid and drive-by joke that somebody made. And it was derogatory toward women, and probably, I mean, granted, I'm not a woman, so I can't say the caliber of joke, but it was, what if a man yells in a forest, is he still wrong, or something stupid like that? And someone's like, that, what does that have to do with making? Like, what is the point of that? You're making some really dumb, nonsensical, and out of place joke.
It was a hearty har har thing. It wasn't.
I remember reading it and I passed right by it because it was so stupid that I wasn't even going to give it.
Yeah, exactly. It was one of those. We're on that level of comedy. Let's move on. You know, I don't think it's funny. I'll make that joke to my wife all the time, but it's still.
Okay, but in the conversation that we're having now about us being people that are banded together under a common hobby or skill set or something that is a trade, something that you can create, is that creating something or is that attempting to divide people? Even if it is stupid, right? Let's say it was the best, most golden joke. Like, oh man, that was good. Or it was stupid. It's still the aim of a joke is to make somebody the butt of the joke. Right?
See the whole, it's hard because every single person takes every single thing differently. And I mean, for me, it's one of those, like, I appreciate the joke, but it's also, you know, 2017. You know, that's a old way of thinking. You know, it's, I don't know. It's just a dumb joke.
Do you kind of wish that this whole, okay. So anyway, back to the dumb joke, right? So someone was like that, what's the point of that joke being in this kind of venue? And then someone else was like, oh, there's people that are all up in people's business because they're trying to tell a joke and they need to ease up and lighten up. And some other people are like, no, that's not the point. You're excluding people because of these stupid jokes, and the machismo of a bunch of men in their garage making things excludes, you know, females and minorities and people that are not into this like locker room type conversation or whatever. And then it all came to a head.
And you're exaggerating slightly there with that example, but just so everybody knows.
Am I?
You know, it didn't move on to, you know, talk about like diversity or ethnicity or anything like that.
Oh, it did.
It did?
Yeah.
I must not have saw that part.
See, and this is the problem with like internet groups. Right. Like any simple joke just spiderwebs into everything.
I stopped reading after the first couple of replies. I didn't
follow a whole lot of it because it was just like, why? There is no reason for it to go as far as it did. It was a dumb joke. B, you're right. It didn't really belong in that group because that group is not about, man, my wife makes me do things type of thing, you know? And that's what that joke was. That was the, you know, the 1960s honey-do list, my wife's a nag type of thing. And that's not anywhere of what that group is about. I'm sorry. That group is about, it's, you know, it's men, it's women, it's children, it's, you know, there is no diverse differentiation of who is making what. It's just that a person, a thing, made another thing. And that's all it is. It's, what have you made? What are you making? What are you trying to make? What questions do you have about how to get from making point A to point B? That's the entire point of the group. And up until, honestly, I'd say like the past month, that group has been the anti, and I've made this comment before, it's been the anti Mos Eisley. You know, it's every single person has been supportive and like intellectual. And, you know, even if you disagreed with someone, it was still, I don't know if I would take that approach, but I would do this. Or if it was the other side of, that was the stupidest thing I've ever seen, quotation marks or in parentheses, I've done that 48 times. It's hilarious, isn't it? You know, it's always, if you're criticized harshly, it's always in a self-depreciation of the person who's delivering that message to you. You know, there's never been any thorough negativity in the group that I've seen. It's always been a lot of support, a lot of ball busting, a lot of, you know, rib punches, but it's never been actual anger, actual like negativity up until recently. And unfortunately, I think that's the natural evolution of an internet group that continues to grow. A lot of people get involved and some people are weird.
Wes, what were you going to say?
It was actually a joke. It's not appropriately timed now.
Does it belong here?
He was talking about ball busting, and I was like, well, that doesn't apply to all the population of the group.
Exactly. Crotch busting, sir, if you please.
No, there's a very...
Yeah.
But I think every,
I didn't get that
every
at first.
You're going to have. Like, in a classroom, in a work setting, and in an online group, you're going to have a huge mix of personalities. And the reason that you're there, either going to school because you're made to go to school, or going to a job because you need to make money, or belonging to a group because you all share a common interest, like you have a bell curve of people that you get along with. And because we share a common interest, I think that bell curve is a lot higher, right? There's more people in the middle. And your standard deviation of people that are on the extremes of things is much less, because the majority of the people are there for the same reason, right? Mm-hmm. So I think,
you're talking about a bigger fall off, basically. Yeah.
And I think that's what it is. Is that the people that are at your extremes in, like, let's say ball busting, right? Or that ribbing, like you're saying, like, oh, that could be good hearted fun. And like, haha, you guys are all just a bunch of whatevers because that's, dudes talk like that, right? That's what we do, is on one side. There's everyone else in the middle who's like, that joke was stupid. And you just keep going because you don't care. And you don't give two thoughts about some dumb joke because, hey, I'm not a woman. And I think we should get a woman from the group's opinion, honestly, before we start casting dispersions about things. But on the other side of that bell curve, you have the people that are like, no, that is a horrible thing that you are alienating people when the point of this group is to include and to build up people. And then those polar opposites are going to start like getting at each other. And I think what caught most people off guard was that rather than trying to resolve that conflict within the people, because although they are at polar opposites, they still have that same kind of chunk in the middle in common. And so rather than trying to use that as a bridge to get people to calm down and think more level-headed, the moderator of the group just booted people. He just booted them out. And I don't personally know. And it sounds like everybody who's freaking out about this group kind of crumbling, like, don't seem to know either whether this was some long-standing thing or if it was some hip pocket kind of reaction. But this is going to happen everywhere. You're going to have differences of opinions. And it's whether or not you're either grown up enough to try to resolve that conflict or if you care enough to listen to somebody else's opinion. And I think the breakdown in communication here is what's really going on. Someone thought it was a harmless joke because we all got them wives who nag at us or her. Like, my wife doesn't nag at me, so I don't relate to that, but I get it. It's something. Right. Yeah, exactly. Or like, I got to go get the ball and chain's permission to buy me a tool. Like, I talk to my wife about money and we have that conversation. So it's,
see, that's, I think that that's a completely other podcast. Like, and that's also alienating probably a good decent amount of people. I never understood the whole, like, and I'm sure you guys saw it too. When I was getting married, it was from every other guy, nothing but negative bull crap. Like, oh, say goodbye to your free time. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, you're going to, you know, just all the right. Stereotypical, you know, BS. You know,
I think like, that's what like, the like one that side like that old the joke. Spectrum.
What's the what kills a woman's sex drive the most? Wedding cake. Bah, 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 bah. Like if you're gonna make a joke, at least make it a good joke. Not just like, oh, someone cracked the door, so I'm gonna walk through it.
I think the one side that opposes the dumb jokes, saying like, hey, I believe that he's right. I don't know what value that brought to that group. If you're just trying to be funny amongst friends, thinking that it's funny. And then all of a sudden you're met with like a huge wall of opposition of like, oh my God, that was the worst joke ever. How dare you say such things? And I'm sure that's how that person felt attacked. But
not that it was the worst joke. It just wasn't just a really good joke.
Like,
catch me off guard. Make me actually laugh.
And I think that's why like political posts and stuff like that in that kind of context are completely unnecessary because that's not why we're there. That's not the meat of that bell curve, right? Like, if you guys, we've briefly talked about politics. If you guys had a completely opposing political view than mine, like other than you don't beat your kids or things like that, like that's your life. That's not mine. We share things in common and we are friends on many, many levels and we're not carbon copies of each other or else that's nepotism. I could hang out and look at that mirror right there. Like we're all different and we'll bring a lot of different things to the table, good, bad, or indifferent.
I thought nepotism was hiring your family into a job. I got to look at that actual definition.
I don't. Okay.
defer to the English teacher, sir.
Let's move on.
I think with a huge group like that's it's not advocating like letting something go that apparently you have qualms with, but it's being able to responsibly deal with those things like grownups. And I think one person, from what I've read, one person tried. Then someone else, then someone else, then someone else. Everybody tries to stick up for people when it really wasn't their fight to begin with. And I think that's kind of what's happening. And eventually the moderator was like, look, you guys can go take your qualms and your shield smacking somewhere else because it's not the place for it.
I just want good jokes. You gotta make a joke. Make it a good joke. Why don't dinosaurs talk? Because they're all dead. See?
It's the stupidest funny joke I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, we should have a whole dad jokes episode. I love it.
Some little kid's going to be listening to this and they start crying when they hear that joke.
To be fair, that was from Brian Regan and that was from his son. That was from like a 4-year-old. And it makes me cry every time I hear him say it. But still, that's one of those, like, make a good joke. Not my wife's a nag. That's a 1960s joke.
Your joke is like a Jurassic era.
Boom. From the man in the tie. So is this this natural?
You go be a square somewhere else, man.
It's a natural thing.
Derogatory joke. If you can get off of that. I like his tie.
Thank you.
We need more people with ties in this group.
Indeed.
Camera's not clear enough. I can just see kind of like a general design in the tie. I can't see the actual design.
There's a mustache and a squid and an anchor and an octopus.
Peter
a bunch
Benchley.
Of random little things.
That tie is
pretty cool.
So what does this mean for the online maker groups, this one in particular? Because in the last coming month, there has been an explosion of these maker-related groups in one fashion or the other. I was looking while you guys were talking earlier. There's We Make Makers. I Like to Make Stuff. I Like to Make Stuff group now, which just popped up today. Makers on YouTube.
We make Makers. Is that about making things, or is that about having
It's more of philosophical...
Every one of them has this.
It's
little...
the same thing with podcasts. The people making their, we can't say we're unique with having a making related podcast, but every like group that wants to have
first.
A spinoff idea, that would like to generate a community around that specific spinoff idea. It's the same thing. I mean, it doesn't take anything away from the other podcasts that exist or the other groups that exist, but it's someone trying to carve their own. Niche out of a niche.
I got no problem with people trying to carve a niche. There's people who dig trees in that special fashion. And I got no problem with people trying to make a group out of what they like. But
I kind of think it goes back to the original idea for the topic that we kind of got away from a little bit in terms of mass saturation of the maker trend. And it seems like there's a really clear splintering of people who just want to make and people who want the attention for what they're doing. Mm. And I think the Facebook groups are kind of a representation of that part of it. You have the people who are purely just out there to make. And Josh, you probably encountered that at Tech Shop, where they don't care about the social stuff. They're just making to make. Because all the social stuff and being on camera and YouTube, that really does get in the way of making.
It really does.
It does. It's a distraction. It's narcissism to a certain degree. And it really is kind of a, an exercise in, hey, look at me. Look at what I made. Look at this cutting board that I made that a million other people have made.
To be fair, I think there's another side of that, too. Like for me, the whole potential YouTube channel, Instagram, look at what I did thing is, my job gets in the way of making 10 hours a day I'm doing stuff that's not making, and I want to do 10 hours a day of making and the remainder not making. So it's kind of two sides of the same thing. You're either trying to be socially popular to break away from the standard mold of life and working a job and doing the stuff on the side, and then you eventually get to maybe you're popular enough to fight through and get, a good YouTube base, and hey, you're popular and you can support your family on YouTube and your Instagram and what you're making. And then you're making to make a YouTube channel, which is, I think you hit that point where once you go down the other side, you're making and trying to produce YouTube, where before you were trying to produce to get away from, you know what I'm saying? I'm kind of losing. I'm not really saying this eloquently at all, and I apologize. But
no, I think that there's a life cycle to not only the group, but to this whole thing.
I don't know if there's a life cycle to making. I mean,
but this social media blend of you creating something and then sharing it with everybody. Like, I agree with what you're saying. You could be in a shop. You can make something great for your family. Like the bed I made for my sons a long time ago, no one knew that I made it unless I talked about it here. It was great. They enjoyed it. I felt wonderful. Let's move on. Then I found this community of online group, online makers. And like, oh, I made a thing. I'm like, hey, I made that too. That thing looks neat. And then, well, that guy has a YouTube channel. Then you get to increase your throw. And, well, maybe I'll make a YouTube channel. Like, for what? First and foremost, you're not Bob Vila. You're not like, no, barely anyone cares. And anyone who's made content will tell you, like, oh, don't go back and look at my early videos because they suck. Well, yeah, because why? And then people start liking what you're doing, and maybe you get a free tool, or maybe you get a little bit of money, and then you start growing more. And then you get to become like the Grant Thompsons, or now like Bob and Joel Telling, and people have had to like hire editors because it's so much to keep up with. that this thing has grown in magnitude, in reach, and like just overall workload, that have you forgotten what you're trying to do in the first place? You're enjoying creating a thing and making someone else happy because you did it. And now it's this burden. And now it's this huge overinflated opinion group that is bound to implode on itself. And Sean, I think you're hitting it on the head. Like so the I Like to Make Stuff group, right? There's almost 2,000, or there were, people. So in all these other ancillary things that people have added me, and I'm sure you guys too, that's, I don't know why they exist, because they're a niche within a niche, like you're saying. It's the same group of people, just more of them. And people will try to poke little jabs at the I Like to Make Stuff group, because I guess it's closed. And I heard the other day that there were 4,000 people on a waiting list. Did you guys get that statistic?
Yeah, supposedly it's...
No.
Yeah.
Supposedly it's, you get in immediately if you know, like if someone vouches
you're recommended
for you. Like if any one of us were like, hey, you know, throw this guy in, I know him, he's a good dude, they get in immediately. But other than that, you're kind of waiting,
which I agree with, by the way. I think exclusivity in a group like this is important in order to help increase quality.
Yeah,
which with what you guys were talking about seemed to have backfired a little bit.
Well, it's personality.
But I think, right. But I think exclusivity actually is important in some of these cases. And if you know somebody, you're able to vouch for them a little bit more, and hopefully they play by the rules to make for a better group.
Can you?
So I'm in favor of exclusivity.
Can you see the group if you're not part of it?
You can see it, but not the posts. You know, it exists, but you can't see certain details.
That's, I think that in and of itself should change. Like, you should be able to, like, just because there's so many people, and Sean, I agree with you, what you're saying. Like, if you're going to contribute, you should be contributing quality things to a group that's like-minded. But on the other side of that, I think you should at least be able to see what the group is and who's contributing what if you're not part of it. But you shouldn't be able to contribute to it until you've, you know, I guess, earned your stars.
Well, it sounds like it's creating a lot of people that have this animosity toward people in that group because they can't get in. And so they've created all these other groups that are pretty much the same thing. And then they make little jabs at it.
That's kind of what I'm talking about. Like, there's take the person who, like, let's take me, you know, when I first discovered, you know, their podcast, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. And then I do a search on Facebook. Oh, there's a group. Neat. And then try and join, and you can't get in. You know, well, why not? Why aren't I good enough to get in? I think, like, you should be able to see what the group is about. Who's, like, you should be able to see everything that everyone posts if you're not part of it. That being said, you shouldn't, like what Sean said, you shouldn't be able to post to the group until, like, hey, this is what I do. I'm not joining just to, you know, throw crap in or start, you know, stupid BS arguments. I actually do this. I have, you know, like a little bit of a resume almost.
Yeah, but this wasn't intended to start an argument. This was supposed to be this lighthearted, benign.
Well no, I'm not commenting on the hitting the fan that happened. I'm just saying, like, in general.
No, this is,
you know,
isn't like
to quell the animosity of people who can't get it in immediately. You know, let people look at the content at the very least, so that way, like, even I mean, in all honesty, I don't contribute that much to the group at this point. You know, at this moment, you know, I'm not making a whole lot. I'm not going to post pictures. I make a bunch of comments that I hope make people kind of chuckle a little bit and ease the tension of some things and move on. You know, I'm the dumb comic relief in some cases.
Tread lately.
I think the group ended up being, you know, aside from, you know, some place we could share what you've been doing and maybe get some feedback, maybe get some help on projects, it's also been a big part of networking.
Yeah.
And you, we have a lot of us that have met in real life now and several times.
That's why so many
and that is because
say it's like a family. Like I wouldn't, I'd have no idea who any of you guys were if not for the group. I wouldn't know Tony. I wouldn't know Joel. I wouldn't have met Jimmy. You know, I wouldn't know there'd have been a lot of things different in my life right now without this group. And that is significant for me.
And I know that a lot of people right now are worried about, okay, what's going to happen with the group? What's going to happen with even with making in general to kind of you know, expand it beyond just our sphere of Facebook here, because everybody wants in on the attention part of it. How many of us would continue making if it wasn't for the social media aspect, YouTube, the, you know, even the podcast? You know, I don't know if I would be making to the degree that I am if it wasn't for that attention that I got early on.
So you see it as a motivation and not as a distraction? Because honestly, a lot of times I view it more as a distraction. Because
it is a distraction.
I think we've gotten, or that group has gotten away from its core principle. You know, we like to make things. It's become a little social club, which, you know, hooray, I guess. But it's all the backstage stuff. It's not that, you know, this is a thing I made, or here's some techniques that I have. It's what happens in the, if you've been to any one of these maker kind of things, it's become the lobby party and not the actual event. And I think this is what's eerie. People are trying to scrap to get a hold of, or a like, or a comment from Jimmy DiResta, or you're becoming in and close with this person so you can try to talk to them about sponsorship deals and like the networking thing. And seriously, the stuff that happens in the lobbies after a couple drinks at all these things, or at the pizza parlor, like at Maker Faire, I think that's what this group has become, and not like the woodworking show, not the actual walking down the promenade looking at all of the beautiful things. I think everybody knew that something like this was going to happen because of the range of personalities. Like, people weren't always going to get along, and some people are louder than others, either on the defensive or on the aggressive. And then you got all the people in the middle who are just hoping to try to get a comment from, you know, the big name YouTubers, and they want that attention from those people. Cause I don't know why, but this is from people who, we've talked to those big name people. So you have them on the show. So I mean, we've benefited from it, and now Bob Claggett, who has the name copyrighted, I like to make stuff a name copyrighted. He's talked to
trademark.
Okay. So he's talked to the proprietor of the group that we're mentioning right now, and how he's like, okay, it's not a big deal if you use the name. And now there's been this whole big dramatic shakeup where people are getting kicked out, and it seems like Facebook is now broken with nothing but messages flood about this whole thing. He's splintered off and actually made an I Like to Make Stuff group that is rooted in his own business, which is what I think he intended in the first place.
I Like to Make Stuff group.
Yeah. And
which I completely understand his point of view and his position, and I don't fault him for that. That's completely understandable.
Yeah, well, he's trying to, I guess, maintain the integrity of his brand, and he's wanted to make the group surrounded by, or not surrounded by, but create a similar group rooted in his work or under his name, because it is his name. And so he kind of wanted to do the same thing under his
band. It's a matter of having control. You know, if it's, he doesn't have control in the first group. So he can't, he's not a moderator. He can't control certain, like if someone comes in and makes a bonehead post, he can't go, okay, you know, don't do that. You do it again and we're going to have issues. Okay. You did it twice. You do it again, you get banned. Okay. You keep doing it, you're gone. You know, he doesn't have that control. So it's a matter of controlling what is the livelihood for your family. And that's understandable.
Yeah. I think it's time for that group to go. That's my opinion. And I could be the complete minority group, and that's fine. But
I don't want it to go just because it's given me so much. I want it to rebound. It's certainly in a weird place right now. But I think rebound. It is.
I think it's evolved into its own thing that is definitely different than its original purpose, and that's not a negative at all. Like, it can still exist in that framework that it's created, but maybe I don't know.
I just think the guidelines for the group need to be a little bit more clear.
Yeah.
What is the purpose of the group? You know, why is it there, and what is expected? Because I don't even know if any of that stuff exists on that page.
No.
And even kind of like the start of it is almost kind of mythic in a way of how it started. Because how long has it been around now? What, 2 years at least? Uh-huh. Almost three?
It has had some ridiculously impressive growth in 3 years.
But it hasn't, because it's a closed group.
Yeah, right.
It hasn't really.
I think
the proprietor of that group needs to enlist some help in proprieting that group. He needs some like-minded people to help him with the, I mean, taking on something like that with the amount of people interested in it has got to be daunting, you know?
Well, yeah. Agreed. So I got added as a moderator for Bob's new group, and I've had tons of notifications for people wanting to join it already just this evening. He's beyond like 600 members already.
And you gotta you can't do stuff like that alone. That's gotta be at least two people. I would say six, but at least two people need to be handling a group like that, because that's a full-time job to go through every keep single talking. Post. What?
No, I'm sorry. I was looking at Wes. I guess, am I a moderator for this thing too?
I don't know. Are you?
It appears to be so. Yeah, everybody's getting booted.
Unsubscribe.
Everybody, you're done.
It's interesting to see. It's like a different take on the same original goal. In that, you know, the other group, I like to make stuff. Prime had one leader, right? And it's a closed group. And this one has, you know, a tier of leadership. And it'll be interesting to see over, you know, even just not even a year, like a short period of time, how different the feels of each group, how the kind of mood and everything after all the dust settles. It'll be interesting to see.
This is getting exhausting keeping up with this.
Oh yeah, it is.
It has filled my Facebook feed.
I think we should just, you know, go and make some things. Yep. Not worry too much about this.
Oh, if you saw my post, you'd see I made a mess today. Oh. And a couple drinks.
I think we just broke exactly the point we were trying to make. This is everybody should just shut up and go make something awesome. And just hold that thing in their hand and go, yeah, and then set it down.
And listen to our podcast.
Anybody.
Make to make. But if you want to share because you think someone will dig it, okay. Don't share for the likes. Don't share to be popular. Share because you think you're contributing. Share because you think, do better. I just watched multiple episodes of the Jim Jefferies show, and he always ends with that. It's, I think we can do better. But don't, I want to go on something more positive. Go do better. If you're worried about working, and, you know, let's say you're working with a hammer and you bash your finger, and then you're worried not being able to get your ring off of your swollen, destroyed finger, Rhino Ring Stretch. And you can get them off, and should you need surgery, they don't have to, it's not something horrible. You just pull it off, and then they can fix your finger, and everything will be fine.
Yeah, we don't know anybody who bashes their fingers with hammers, though. Ew, that was gross, Sean. Sean bashes fingers with a hammer.
It's made from real rhino, right? I'm pretty sure that's
100% real rhino.
Yeah.
Stretchable silicone rhino.
But no, they really are good products, and you should go to rhinorings.com and use the offer code MAKINGGEEKS for 15% off of your Rhino Ring order. They really are great things. And, I mean, that is a really good case study there. If you were to bash your fingers like you did, and if your fingers were to swell up and you couldn't get your ring off, then you're kind of screwed on a couple of different fronts. So,
I've heard horror stories of titanium rings.
Yeah.
Third-degree burns because you had to grind it off your hand. Blah!
And that will not happen with Rhino Rings. So go check them out and make sure you use the code MAKINGGEEKS at checkout.
What are we geeking out about? Positive here.
All right. I'll go first. One of my favorite shows on TV is an HBO show called Silicon Valley. And I almost like it more than even like Game of Thrones. And that just because of how geeky it is. And every time I sit down and watch an episode of that, I'm sitting down going, yes, I remember that. Or yes, I know about that. Or I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they're doing that. That's stupid. And it's one of my favorite shows on TV, and it has been. And I just finished watching the last season, which I think is the third or fourth season. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, they're pretty deep in there.
I think it's the fourth. And it just keeps getting better, although it's very much serialized. It's kind of the same thing where they make this great, you know, discovery, and then they screw it up, and they gotta have to try to fix it. But it kind of feels that way working in IT sometimes. So it's a great show. And if you have access, check it out. But very, very adult. So just be careful with the little ones around when you're
HBO.
Listening to some very, very special use of language. How about you, Mark?
I am geeking out about two things. I may have a YouTube video coming up for a mad scientist project that may or may not be useful to some people. And quite frankly, I don't care. I'm still doing it. I need to go to Target and I need to go to do some shopping at Amazon. I already have the copper piping. Other than that, Voltron season 3. I can't wait. I got to watch season 2. And I have it. I just haven't watched it yet. So I like having the ability to go back to being 8 years old in my parents' bedroom watching Voltron. Not necessarily in my parents' bedroom, but you get the idea. Just those nice flashbacks. Just certain things just give you that comfort, you know? Josh.
I went and saw Spider-Man again today.
Was it better the second time around?
Maybe. I took Deacon. And he was super excited the whole time. Like, I showed him Civil War the other day just to get the Spider-Man origin in this new series of movies. And that movie was really good, like, for his age bracket, because it's like, oh, man, everybody's here. And then it started to get really dark toward the end, and he started covering his ears. And I'm like, it's probably good. You got where Spider-Man entered into this universe, because I wanted to go see it with him. And he was super excited the whole time. And, like, the moment when he opened the door, we did a spoiler cast, so if you're still listening to our podcast, I'm going to ruin Spider-Man again. But that moment when Peter goes to go pick up the girl from the prom and the guy opens the door.
Don't say it. Yeah.
I'm not. Mm-hmm. The guy opens the door. Yeah. Right? Deke was like, what? Really loud in the theater. So he's my favorite theater goer because he's just raw emotion and it's really great.
Wait, what scene?
Turn around. Remind you.
Yeah. Spider-Man. There's a late showing right now. But yeah, it definitely held up the second time. Really, really good movie. I said it shared the podium. It's my favorite. It's my favorite Marvel movie. Now it wins.
Just getting better from here on out, man.
Well, I'm geeking out about all the stuff that dropped on Comic-Con. Like the Ready Player One trailer. Or the new Thor.
That was epic.
The new Thor trailer. The
Thor trailer was good.
Justice League trailer.
Not as
great, but still fun. Looks fun.
Yeah.
It was a little bit better.
The Wonder Woman 2 trailer? Yeah. She was in like every scene of that movie, which was a smart move on DC's part.
Well, didn't you guys watch the Avengers?
Yeah.
Yes.
The leak? I avoided it.
I saw the leak. I saw it.
I watched like a couple minutes. Like 30 seconds. I watched about 30 seconds.
It's only a couple minutes.
Until they showed Peter Parker.
You saw like a third of the trailer.
Oh,
yeah.
It's going to be so good.
I was impressed by that leaked footage with the bad handheld camera.
It's going to be so bat crap crazy.
That trailer reminded me of watching movies in Iraq because you used to get bootleg movies.
Yeah.
And you had to listen to people eating popcorn and people walking to go to the bathroom. But yeah, it was good.
Did you guys see the Ready Player One trailer besides Sean?
Yes.
I don't know much about that. I know people are really, really freaking out about it, but it looked pretty cool.
All I know is I looked up the book today on Easton Press, and for 3 easy payments of $52.50, you can have a hardcover bound book of Ready Player One 2.
You should just get it, and then you can like glue some cardboard on the inside.
Yeah, wasn't even some of the worst prices. Like
I bought mine for 95 cents.
They're making their books out of gold, but they're expensive.
I'm excited to see how many other like properties they can get in there, you know, and actually have in the movie. You know, like the Iron Giant, Back to the Future DeLorean. I mean, you got lots of references that are not, you know, probably.
Is that book mandatory science fiction reading?
It's going to be now. And those references are actually in the book. That wasn't just Spielberg threw
in. I'm just wondering
actual book.
You know, as far as licensing goes. You know,
I didn't know anything about it. So every time.
I still don't know anything about it.
Spielberg's making it, so I'm pretty sure he's going to clear all the licensing. Yeah. Unfortunately, it'd be paying inflated prices, but I'm sure they'll figure it out.
That's all I got.
So we'd love to hear from all of you. Questions have been a little bit short lately. So we'd love it if you guys would head over to makinggeeks.com, check out the contact page, send us some questions for the show. You know, we do always find something to talk about, but if there's something that you would really like to hear us talk about or cover, we'd love to hear it. So leave those suggestions there on the contact page. Or remember, you can listen to all of our past episodes right there on the homepage. So please check out makinggeeks.com.
You can also find all of our stuff on Instagram at Making Geeks Podcast. You can go to Twitter and find us at Making Geeks, and same thing on Facebook at Making Geeks, and find all of our content across all three platforms.
And we'd like to thank our lovely, basically sponsors at patreon.com/makinggeeks, all of our patrons that chip in some of their hard-earned cash towards helping the quality of our show. We definitely appreciate it, including our top patron, Mr. Seth Williams. Again, thank you, sir. And all the patrons, we definitely appreciate your help. If you just head on over there and drop a dollar, if you appreciate the show, if you like it, if you want to help us out, we appreciate it. It's a lot of appreciation. I need to look at a thesaurus. But yeah, your contributions could actually help me get a thesaurus so I could make these a little more verbose and interesting. So thanks.
We didn't hire you because you're loquacious. It's because of the tie.
I know.
And you can find all our own individual bodies of work at Asylum Designs on Instagram, Thingiverse, and Twitter, at geekbuilders.net, at geeksmithing.com, and thepiworkshop.com. And we'd like to thank everybody for hanging through this episode. I know it was somewhat topical and somewhat off the beaten path. It may not have been in your wheelhouse, but I'd like to thank you for hanging out for the conversation. And we'll be back next Saturday with a super awesome geeky topic that will apply to everyone's life in one way or another. And we hope you have a fantastic week.
See ya.
Later.
Take care.
Feels good.
Second breakfasts.